And you see this, that which I'm responsible for. So that's where the end of verse 6 is, he shall come at no dead body. And then that's what happens to me. Someone drops dead at my feet. And now what? God has graciously provided, obviously, for both. But there's the responsibility that I have to make sure, to the best of my ability, that I don't put myself in a position knowingly where there are association with dead things. But because we are in this world, in this wilderness while, that there are going to be those who are the casualties of this world, and they're going to drop dead at my feet. And God in graciousness provides this cleansing process. For us, it is the washing of the water by the word of the word of God in Ephesians chapter 5. Here it was that reflection, and I tell you, young people, this is a very important aspect of the cleansing of restoration, that we consider what has defiled us, how we've been defiled, so that we are not revisiting these things again, or that we don't treat them in a glibly manner, just, whatever, but that we understand and we see things how God sees them, how this has interrupted the vow of this young man and this young woman. I mean, a lofty vow to say, listen, I want to live a life devoted to God. And here it is, in this scene of dead things right at my feet. And then when we go through this process of reflection, that to know on the eighth day there can be offerings that are brought. We're not going to go into them. You can do that at your leisure. But these all speak of Christ himself. When we need cleansing, where are we going to go? Who are we going to present? 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is Christ himself. We have the one who can bring us back in proper alignment, the advocate, Christ himself. So these are some very beautiful principles that we have. And so there isn't where we say, well, you know, what can we do? We live in a really untoward generation, defilement all around. I mean, what am I going to do, Brother Tony? It's that we be conscious of these things. First, my responsibility, and then inadvertently, where there is death that falls at my feet, to be aware of it and to say, I can go to the Word of God. You know, Brother John was talking about cursing, and I remember my last year of high school, myself and a brother in the meeting, we went and got part-time jobs at United Parcel Service in New York. And growing up in a Christian home, I mean, I was not isolated, where I'd never heard profanity, but I'd never heard it like this, where every word out of almost every adult's mouth that was around me was profanity. And I remember going home, burdened by it, and feeling defiled, I mean, literally feeling dirty because of the profanity, what it meant, what it was inferred. And this is how the Lord wants us to feel the dirtiness of sin, because he is a holy God. And when we feel the dirtiness of it, we're going to be careful how we move, so that when those in the world see you and you and you and I as those who have a desire to be Nazarites in the true New Testament sense, they look at us and they say, you know, they will be drawn to the cleanliness, to the devotedness to Christ. And that's the challenge as young people. When we live up to the spiritual Nazariteship that we have in the New Testament, we will draw our friends to the Lord. But when we compromise, when we sit and we laugh and we, you know, she's plugged into her iPod and I've got the thing here and we're listening to the same kind of whatever nonsense it is, and we're, yeah, you know, wow, they got Alicia Keys, she got a new album, and whoever.
Who's that?
You know, all these people. Alicia Keys, you know her. Then what happens is that we have watered down, compromised our testimony. So I don't know if our time is gone. Is it gone? But But can we wrap up with the thought of the Nazarite that completes his term? Someone have some comments on that? Because I think that is also very beautiful, that there are those who are able to fulfill their vows. We have that in verse 13. This is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We have offerings that are brought. We have the burnt offering. We have peace offerings, unleavened bread. Verse 16, the priests, they're given to the priests. They're presented before the Lord. In verse 18, the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation, put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. The priest shall take the boiled shoulder and the heave offering. And it says, and after, verse 20, and after that the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who has vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so must he do after the law of his separation. So isn't there some glory that is now attached to one who has fulfilled the law of the Nazarite? Certainly it was disappointment when the one was defiled. But now I think there's such joy. That's the word I was looking for. Such joy to say I was able to fulfill my vow. And this is what we want to do as young people. The things that we have said to Christ, committed to him because of what he has done. We want to fulfill that vow. Brother John says it's in light of the fact that the Lord is coming. That's all Mephibosheth was thinking about. Land, house, inheritance. I'm waiting for David. And that's where we should be. There may be others that have some comments there, but that should be on our hearts, that I've made this vow. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross, and it's not even the cross before me. It's Christ in glory before me. And I want to fulfill that vow all the days of my life.
You know, the question was, I heard the question asked before, you know, what's the time limit for us? What's practically speaking, when is it over for us? And the verses that come to mind are in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. And I think that this would really speak to us about the end of our course when our Nazariteship is over. And Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Mm. And I think that that's the end for us, is when we shall be before the righteous judge. Is when we be able to say, "I have fought the fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And I think that's the challenge. Mm. I mean, none of us will do it perfectly, but there you go. That's what's before us.
If in the offering, when it goes up, there is a sweetness and delight to God, one could acknowledge that in verse 18, that hair is thrown with the offering. I'm sure others will help us in that matter, but I'd like to make an application that I feel it is suitable for the end of the fulfillment. The Apostle Paul in Galatians says, "I travel so that Christ might be formed in you." Formed. And I truly believe in a practical way that when you see a believer, or when believer reaches that point where in everything that he does or she does, he is and she is being a reproduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Believe me, it will bring delight. And as it were, an offering sweet before God himself. This man, when he fulfilled his days, this woman, it could be said of them that Christ was formed in them. That a reproduction of this wonderful life here on earth is seen in a brother or in a sister, and how wonderful it will rise up to heaven with the fire.
The beauty, the chapter ends with not blessing to the Nazarite, but blessing to the whole nation of Israel. Because of the faithfulness and devotion of one person, blessing comes to all. The last part of the chapter, that's how you bless the children of Israel. Because of a life that is devoted to the Lord, just think of yourself, young person. Life that is devoted to the Lord, it's going to bring blessing upon everyone around you. Life that is not devoted to the Lord, it will bring heartache and headache, not only to yourself, but also to those around you. So even if everybody is not faithful, you remain faithful, God will intervene and cause you to be a blessing to those around you.